The Sage. The Zhao Dynasty, 1122 to 256 BCE. As I stressed before, was for the most part a time of great turmoil and change in China. And so many of the Taoist sages, already inclined toward simplicity and nature, retreated to secluded mountain hermitages. Disgusted with the moral decay of the cities, one such legendary figure would find refuge in mountains, destined to be dwarfed by his own stature. At the ripened age of 160, Lao Tzu followed these sages into nature, sometimes between the 3rd and 6th century BCE. He would go on to write the most influential Taoist text ever, the Tao Te Ching, the Book of the Way and Its Power. This great book would influence almost all areas of Chinese life for many centuries to come, covering great spiritual breadth and the proper construction of a healthy secular society. Several poems, paintings, legends, and folklore link Lao Tzu's inspiration to a quiet life of meditation, seclusion, harmony, and stillness. We might also picture him drinking tea in the way other Taoist sages of his time were. The practice of giving tea as welcome to an arriving guest is often attributed to Lao Tzu's disciples offering him a bowl of the golden elixir when he returned home after some travels. According to legend, the sage is said to have left the world with naught but a cup of tea as well. Fed up with those who hadn't ears to hear, stubborn disciples and the dust of the world, Lao Tzu decided to leave the mortal realm forever. At the legendary Han Pass, painted over and again 10,000 times, his favorite disciple, Yin Si, stopped him and served him his favorite tea, begging him to write down his teachings before departing the world forever. This was, they say, the moment when his brush dipped into the inkwell those 81 times and calligraphically penned the first Tao Te Ching. When the last stroke had been danced to a halt, the old sage filled his cup one last time and mounted his trusty ox, slowly ambling through the Han Pass to eternity. His weeping disciple, so poignantly holding the 81 scrolls in a bundle more precious than a mountain of jade. While legendary, such stories further corroborate that early Taoists were drinking tea with the sincerity we have heretofore emphasized, nay, even overemphasized, as well as demonstrating that tea was indeed an ingredient in the path to the eternal, and consequently inspiration for the Tao teachings, which were also themselves the poetic or intellectual sugar in that recipe. Scholars argue that the Tao Te Ching itself was simply a collective gathering of the wisdom of all the sages living in the mountains, and that Lao Tzu was just the personification of their ideals, or perhaps a mythic teacher from their past. Whether he did walk the earth or not, the depth of those many lines written so many times over these thousands of years on bark, rice paper, silk, and linen alike captures as much of the essence of living tea as it does other aspects of the Tao. Substitute tea for the word Tao, as Lao Tzu himself would smile upon, both for its perspicacity and daring to break from the idea of formalized language. The movement of tea is a returning and its use is a softness. One should use fewer words to describe the way when approaching its actual application to the life we live. The way of tea is not a thought process or a philosophy. It isn't even an approach or method in a strict sense. Most of what Cha Dao is becomes incommunicable the moment we try to utter a word. The pen is left tapping, and we can't know what to say, for a collection of words can never improve one's spiritual condition. They only serve their purpose if they inspire one to live. Like Lao Tzu's hallowed words, this book only accomplishes something as either the inspiration or testament of a life lived in tea. And being with tea isn't spoken, but experienced. Without that experiential connection, tea is a hollow pastime, celebrating life and friendship at best, causing attachment to sensual desires at worst. As hypocritical as it sounds, the great opprobrium of the Tao Te Ching, that he who knows doesn't speak, and he that speaks doesn't know, is also an affirmation of the need to maintain what Zen practitioners call a beginner's mind when approaching Tao, Ti, or Ti as Tao. In order to progress, we must remain humble, quiet, and attentive to our teachers, some of which are people, masters, while others include nature itself, as well as the ordinary situations we encounter every day. To all of these, we must be receptive and reverent. And as such, we develop insight and experience of the true nature of the world and ourselves. Through awareness and being attentive to that which is before us, we may find the Tao of all the 10,000 things and learn their nature without having studied or even left our cushion, sipping our way to heaven. That is the way of tea. Sitting quietly with my cup in hand, I imagine similar in so many ways to Lao Tzu holding his tea bowl. I take a sip and travel the world. Then, having seen the sights, I lean back on my ox, have a last sip, and ride off into eternity. Without going out of your door, you can know the ways of the world. Without looking out a single window, you can see the way to heaven. The further you go, the less you know. Thus, the sage knows without traveling, sees without looking, and achieves without action. I offer the merit of this practice to all. May they be well, peaceful, and happy. May no harm come to them. May they always meet with spiritual success. May they also have patience, courage, understanding, and determination to meet and overcome inevitable difficulties, problems, and failures in life. May they always rise above them with morality, integrity, forgiveness, compassion, mindfulness, and wisdom.